we're back for another main event. Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole here for episode 60.
Woo!
Crazy, huh? Time flies, bud. Today on the show, we have two guys that are going to be battling it out for the vacant LFA middleweight title on June the 23rd in Houston, Texas. Eric Anders, former Alabama football national champion, matter of fact, of the 2009 Nick Saban team, and he's going to be going against a jiu-jitsu high-level practitioner, Brendan Allen, again for the vacant middleweight belt. Brian, this is a huge matchup for both of these guys in their career right now. I've been reading some stuff online. This could be the winner of this fight. If they win this fight emphatically, or they make a big statement here, the winner of this fight really could take a next step to, you know, maybe a Bellator, maybe a UFC. They're right on that doorstep. So a win here for either one of these guys changes their lives.
Roll Tide. Bama football going to reign supreme now in the cage as well.
Are you what's that lady's name that's always on ESPN?
She's Phyllis.
Yeah,
it's Phyllis, I think, on the Feinbaum
show.
She's
a riot.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Roll
Don't
Tide.
You talk about Nick Saban like that. Nick Saban's a god.
He's a god. He created football in the rest of the world, and then on the sixth day, he created college football. Roll Tide.
No, it should be a good one. I say in jest. I'm not pulling for either one because both are really great dudes, and they've been really good to the main event here over the years, or the year, I should say. But yeah, it's going to be a fun fight. And again, it's not necessarily that the loser of the fight is now set back, but the winner could really have that huge, big break. And think about how marketable both guys are. Like Anders, how marketable is that skill set and that pedigree and that history for him when you consider he's got those Alabama football ties? You think college football, you think Bama probably first and foremost.
No doubt about it. And obviously that is something that can get the viewers' attention, but it all comes down to what you do inside that cage. And I'm going to tell you what, Brendan Allen, I saw an interview with him the other day, and he's wholeheartedly confident in his abilities to go and not just win this fight, but dominate this fight. So this is a really intriguing matchup.
And we've talked about this before, just some of the dichotomy of fighters going into their respective bouts, and you need to have that confidence that you can beat anyone. If you have the mindset as a, let's say you're a 5-foot-tall man weighing 100 pounds, and you think you can beat Brock Lesnar, and you go out there and think you can beat Brock Lesnar, and you go and say, I can beat Brock Lesnar, and you go out there and just do everything saying that, I believe you have a chance. And not just to say that Allen has no chance in this fight, because I think he has a really good chance. He could come out on top. Same thing with Anders as well. But you have to have that mentality, I think, no matter whom you're facing, that you can go out there and you can win against any opponent no matter what adversity you're dealing with. So I love that confidence from Allen.
I think that we could scavenge the ends of the earth looking for a 5-foot man, and we would never find one that could beat Brock Lesnar. But I see where you're going there,
Brian.
But
I'm just saying, it's that kind of confidence. You want that.
In Conor McGregor. You look at Conor McGregor. That's the same thing that he is, that unwavering belief, and it's propelled him right to the top of the sport.
It could be Aldo, who hasn't lost in basically like a century, and he says, I'm going to go and make him rich and famous, but I'm going to take his belt, and his wife is going to have a red panty night because he's going to make him so wealthy, even in defeat. And basically, that was the end of Aldo's career. He's still going to be a tremendous fighter in MMA, but ever since that quick knockout that Conor got into his head because of his confidence, in my opinion, Aldo's been on a downward spiral ever since there, winning back the interim title, winning back the title, then losing to Holloway, and I don't think he's ever going to get the title back or to ever be where he was before McGregor got into his head and then took him down.
And you could say the same thing about the Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman situation.
Yeah.
You know, Weidman basically took his soul, it seemed like.
And took his shin bone.
You know, and but this whole thing with Aldo, I'll tell you what, I agree with you, but then when I saw what he did to Frankie Edgar, I mean, to me, anybody that can beat Frankie Edgar, you are the best of the best. But stylistically, they just matched up really well to with one another.
Holloway,
so I see what
made
you're
him
saying.
Look bad, though.
Yeah, he did. But yeah. Aldo hurt him early in that fight. He did catch him with a big shot. And, you know, I thought it was a fairly close fight right up until Aldo got knocked on his butt. And then when Holloway got the hooks in on the ground, Aldo couldn't do a darn thing. Holloway just had him beat every which way but sideways.
And we'll talk about that UFC fight card, UFC pay-per-view, and leading up into some really big pay-per-views coming up this summertime. But we don't want to talk about that too much because I'm gloating with my championship belt on for predicting that fight correctly. You were in the elbow.
Well, remember
camp.
What I said, though.
It was a win-win for you. Either you got your boy Holloway the title, which you wanted anyways, or you got the pick right. So I got the pick right and my boy to win. So win-win for me, too.
Touche, Brian. Touche.
But again, back to this this battle between two really good up-and-coming MMAers. I'm really looking forward to this one. We talked about the confidence. That's a big part of this one, too. But both these guys have a great skill set. We had some lovely, wonderful conversations with each.
Yeah, and this is a matchup of contrasting styles. You got the striker, the guy with the heavy left hand that comes in that wants to knock you out, and Anders, and that's what he does. And then Brendan Allen is a black belt on the ground in jiu-jitsu, and he's subbing people in the first round left and right. So this fight is all about where the fight goes and who can implement their style on the other. And I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup, one that you do not want to miss. And again, the winner of this fight, it really could change things in their career. We could be seeing them in the UFC real soon.
We could be talking to some of the next up-and-coming stars. We could be talking to the next Conor McGregor, the Max Holloway, or the next Stipe Miocic here in just a couple minutes.
You never know, and that's the exciting thing about it. I remember talking to Javier Garrity on the Big Jab when I first started working there a couple years ago, and he had Conor McGregor on the show before Conor became this huge worldwide megastar, and now he can't get him back on because he's too big for the lowly Portland Big Jab, so you never know what can happen.
I talked with Stipe before he was champion. I talked with Max before he was champion, right when he was just coming back up the ladder after losing to Conor. I talked with Max, and now he's one of the biggest names in mixed martial arts too. So
it's great.
It's always crazy to see, and hopefully one of these two guys or both of them get up to the pinnacle of the sport too. I think it would be great for both their careers, and because they're great dudes as well.
I'm going to second that right there. And why don't we get into it? We got Eric Anders waiting on the line. We're going to take a quick break and give a shout-out here to our great sponsor, the Sea Dog, and we'll be back with Eric Anders. This is Ryan Jarrell from The Main Event. We are proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. The Sea Dog is located in Bangor at 26 Front Street, right next to Penobscot River. You can call them at 947-8009 or visit them at seadogbrewing.com. Very excited to announce that the Sea Dog has a new summer menu. There are so many great things on this menu that are so just unbelievably mouthwatering. I could go through this whole thing, but I'm just going to give you a couple, just to give you a little taste, just to give you a little tease here. One of the new items, the ahi tuna poke. Raw sashimi tuna with avocado dressed in Hawaiian-style soy sesame citrus sauce, served with crispy wonton chips and garnished with wakame seaweed salad and tobiko fish roe. Wow, I feel like I'm in Hawaii right now getting ready to dip my toes into the ocean and eat some unbelievable food. Also, if you want a little bit more of a Maine type of style, they have the lobster mac and cheese, a broiled top brown skillet of orchetta pasta, cheddar mac and cheese sauce, and fresh picked lobster meat. And if you wanted to, there is a double order available. Good Lord. One of my favorites is the fried calamari. Same preparation, but now served in only one size only, a 6-ounce portion. God, I love calamari. I can't wait to get there this summer and eat some of that. And also, the Sea Dog's beers are always on tap. Unbelievable. The Blue Paw, my favorite. Brian's favorite. So many great things to do in one fantastic place. On 26 Front Street, the Sea Dog Brewing Company. Back on the show is an undefeated professional mixed martial artist who will fight next for the vacant LFA middleweight title when he takes on Brendan Allen at LFA 14 on June the 23rd. Eric Frankenstein Anders is back on the Main Event. Thank you, sir, for coming back and speaking with us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure speaking with you guys.
Well, the last time that we had you on the show was after your 23-second KO of Brian White at Bellator 162. Since then, you have competed once at LAF 6 with another first-round KO, this time of John Kirk. Now, for our listeners who didn't get to see that fight, please break down how it played out, and could you be any more pleased with your performance?
So we came out there, touched gloves, moved around for a little bit. I hit him with a straight left, turned into a single leg, got on top, and then just finished the fight with some good old ground and pound there in about a minute and about like a minute and a half or something like that. I was very pleased with my performance. Anytime you can go in there and get a first round victory without taking too much damage or damage at all, it's hard to be displeased with your performance.
Right, exactly. And how much confidence does it give you to keep getting these first round finishes?
I'm prepared to go, 25 minutes if necessary. If I can get out of there early, then that's cool too. I always train to go the distance, but the goal is absolutely to get out of there before.
Yeah, we've talked with fighters who have had quick knockouts and quick fights in succession. Sometimes are you a little disappointed when it doesn't go a little bit longer so you can try and practice out some of the things against a game opponent?
Nah, because that's the name of the game, is get in there and get out. Get a W and finish the fight. That's what fans want to see. That's what, that's what I aim to do. And anytime I can get in there and get an early first-round victory, I'm never going to complain about it.
Now, obviously, you said that you trained to go the distance. Anybody that is going to be facing you, I'm sure they're looking for a reason to say, why they can beat you. I mean, you're undefeated. The only thing that I can think of would be someone saying that, well, if they can weather the storm and get out of the first round, then you could gas out and become more vulnerable to get beat. What do you say to someone who would come up to you and say that that's what the blueprint is to beat you and hand you your first loss?
I would say if you're fortunate enough to get out of the first round, you may not be so lucky getting out of the second round, because my cardio is tip-top, and like I said, I'm able to go the whole 25 minutes if necessary. So if you make it out of the first round, you're going to have to weather the storm again the second round. There is no eye of the storm. The storm is, it doesn't waver. And, there's just a lot of pressure. If you can take it for 25 minutes, whatever, that's cool, but chances are the fight's going to end early.
Now, I'm curious, what have you been up to since your most recent victory? Have you been able to do anything fun outside of training, or has it just been all business?
That's pretty much all I do is teach and train. I live, eat, breathe MMA, mixed martial arts. I'm a true martial artist. I'm not a fighter. A lot of fighters, they'll have a fight, take some time off, but I have a 24-hour rule, so... after a fight, I got 24 hours to do whatever I want, sleep, eat, party, have a good time. But then after that Monday, I'm back in the gym training, and it's business as usual.
What is it you like to indulge yourself in for food? Are you a carb guy, or you get into sweets?
Man, I'm a burger guy, man. I love burgers and all kinds of different varieties of burgers from different places. As of yet, I haven't found anywhere that rivals, as far as fast food goes anyways, franchises. Whataburger is definitely still on the show in the burger game.
Okay. Are you a big fan of grilling up on a charcoal grill? I've been doing that a lot lately, and man, a burger on a charcoal grill, to me, that's as good as it gets.
That's right. And unfortunately, man, my grill game is a bit subpar, so I let my wife do all the cooking. She's a fantastic cook and a culinary expert, so whatever she puts on the plate in front of me, you're going to get eaten.
So you said Whataburger is your top one. Have you had, like, In-N-Out or Five Guys, just for comparison's sake?
Yeah, I've had them all, man. There's okay. Probably not a franchise or a fast food place that I haven't had, unless it's, like, new or something like that. But, yeah, Whataburger takes the cake.
So what
I would say I like the amount of fries the Five Guys gives you. I give you half a lunch bag full of fries, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think we should try to get some sort of an endorsement here for Eric. I think Whataburger should be an endorser. I think that was enough get some money.
They can have all my trunk space, all the space on my shorts.
Yeah,
they did that.
I'm also curious, one of the things that I really like, In-N-Out Burger, they have their protein-style burger where it's wrapped with lettuce, so you're not eating the bread. Have you ever tried that before?
I haven't. I'm out here in Alabama, so we don't have In-N-Out Burger readily available. But usually whenever I go to California, to compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments or whatnot, I go out there and, I give it a shot, but, you know, like I said, Whataburger reigns supreme.
All right. Well, I mean, we could talk food all day, but, you know, we have you on to break down this upcoming fight, this huge title fight against Brendan Allen. When were you approached by Legacy Fighting Alliance about this title fight, and did you know much about your opponent at that point?
No, I really didn't know much about Brendan. He fought a teammate of mine as an amateur about 2 years ago, so that was my first exposure to him. And then when I signed with LFA, you know, I tuned in and watched him. That was about the same time that he fought John Kirk, my last opponent. Yeah, you know, as soon as they said anything about a fight, you know, my immediate response was send a contract. It really doesn't matter who it is or what's on the line. You know, like I said, I prepare for fights as though I'm going 25 minutes, 5-5, and that it is a title fight. So I'm glad that it's actually a title fight, and it could go 5-5, but I highly doubt it.
Now, is this the toughest test of your career so far, and if so, why?
I'll say so. You know, he's really slick on the ground. I think his stand-up is a little subpar, but, you know, he's willing to stand and bang, which I feel like will be his downfall in this fight. He definitely stands a better chance on the ground, but once again, I just think my ground to pound too much for him.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question, because Brendan has a slick ground game, as you said. He's actually submitted 4 of his last 5 opponents in either round 1 or 2. But you do feel confident regardless if this fight does go to the ground against Brendan Allen?
Absolutely. I feel very confident. Even if on my back, I'll be able to get a sweep or a submission of my own. And if on top, I just don't think he's going to be able to weather that storm.
And Eric, regardless of who the opponent is, you feel confident enough in your stand-up going into it, regardless of who it is. I know that's what you're known for. You got heavy hands. You've been knocking people out. I'm just curious if that's how you feel when you step into that cage, regardless of who's across there staring at you. You feel like that's what you're going to do. You're going to go over there. You're going to knock them out.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm confident in every aspect of the game: ground, clinch, standing up. And I just take the fight as it develops. You know, some of the fights have been standing up the whole time. Some of the fights, you know, have been on the ground the whole time. And, you know, some of my fights have been up and down. So, you know, I'm confident no matter where the fight's at. You know, I really don't have a game plan. When I get in there, I kind of just shut the brain off and it's reaction at that time. Mm-hmm. So we just take what comes at us and, you know, we're looking to finish the fight as soon as possible.
So how does this fight end? Give us a little prediction.
I believe I'll knock Brendan Allen out within 3 minutes of the first round.
Wow. Okay. Well, I always love it when we have guests on and they give emphatic predictions that it's ending in the first. That makes it more exciting, and definitely can't wait for this fight to come. It's definitely a big one here. Now, Eric, the winner of this fight could potentially be in line for a shot at the UFC at some point here really soon. Are you hearing rumblings about this, and do you agree with that and hope that is the case?
No, I'm not hearing any rumblings. You know, I really don't pay that stuff attention. I'm a matter-of-fact type guy, you know. When it happens, it happens. But I do think that winning the title, the middleweight belt for LFA, definitely puts me in a position to get that phone call. You know, there's more fighters in the UFC from Legacy and RFA than any other promotions in the world. And now that they've kind of combined into one, I'll really be sitting pretty after I come home with that belt.
Now, is there any rivalry? I know there is between LSU and Alabama in football, but is there any rivalry between you and your opponent with the Alabama-Louisiana ties here?
Man, it doesn't matter. Man, I don't get caught up in all that nonsense. I'm going in there to win the fight. All that extra, you know, trash talking or rivalry stuff, you know, it's whatever, man. That's for somebody. That's for you guys. That's for the spectators. That's for the media. I'm just looking to go out there and knock them out.
So, Eric, what are your goals for the remainder of 2017 after this fight? Let's say that you do get the win here. How many more times would you like to step into the cage and perform?
Man, as often as possible. You know, I like to fight, you know, about 4 times a year, more if necessary or if possible. But I'd like to get 4 in this year.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We can't wait to see this fight with Brendan Allen. Before we let you go, is there anyone you'd like to thank, any sponsors or anybody that's helped you prepare to get ready for this big title fight?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd like to thank VitaFlow out here in Birmingham for helping me recharge and, you know, stay energized for these fights, for training and whatnot. Geared Up Nutrition out there in San Antonio. Jeremy Soto, what's going on? EW Motion Therapy here in Birmingham for keeping me loose and limber. And it's all my fans and teammates and training partners over there at Spartan Fitness.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Eric. We can't wait to see this title fight. Best of luck, and we look forward to having you back on the show at some point in the near future.
All right, appreciate it.
Well, it's summer coming right around the corner. It might be slow to start off here in this general area of the state of Maine, but it is coming in full force, and you know what that means? Cold beer, great food, and awesome music at the Bangor waterfront, too. And our friends at the Sea Dog Brewing Company are going to be helping you go to the concerts for absolutely free if you go down before on concert dates and you got a little lady luck on your side. Here's all you have to do. You go down there on a concert night, like, I don't know, say, Rod Stewart. Maybe he's down there on the waterfront. I don't know, maybe you're more of a hard rock fan, you're going to be down there, maybe you want to go see Korn one night. Well, you can go down to the Sea Dog on the event nights, and what you do, you go there, and an hour before the show, they will draw a winner to go and with their friend to see the concert for absolutely free, thanks to the Sea Dog, located at 26 Front Street in Bangor. Yeah, absolutely free. I went to a concert a little while ago. It was fun. It was absolute blast. A little cold for my liking, but it's going to be a lot warmer once this season really picks up in full force. And again, the back deck is open. You can enjoy the waterfront views. It's just going to be so much fun. And again, great menu items coming on there for the Sea Dog as well, including a chilled seafood sampler. Oh, it's making my mouth water. Wash it down with a delightful Blue Paw beer or anything else that strikes your fancy. And go check it out for yourself. And maybe, just maybe, if you're lucky, like Ryan and I are, you'll win some tickets courtesy to Sea Dog Brewing Company and the Brew Pub as well, located 26 Front Street. You can give them a call at 947-8009 or check them out on Facebook as well at Sea Dog Bangor or SeaDogBrewing.com.
Joining us once again is a professional mixed martial artist who competes next at LFA 14 on the 23rd of June when he takes on Eric Anders for the vacant LFA middleweight title. Brendan Allen is back on the main event. Thank you as always, bud.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. The last time we had you on the show, you were preparing to take on John Kirk at LFA 3, and you won that fight via round one KO. Break down that fight for our listeners who didn't get a chance to see it.
It came out, surprised me a little bit as he turned southpaw. So kind of regret it back. I probably should have stayed back and just assessed it a little bit more, but I didn't. You know, kind of went a little gung-ho. Went out there, rushed him a little bit. We got in a clinch. Hit him with a knee that cut him open, ended up on top of him on the ground, and then, you know, just kept him from the end until the rest time I stepped in.
Yeah, you got another early round finish. Did you expect that fight to go as it did, or did you plan on it being a little bit longer of a fight that time out?
I always expect my fight to be a little bit longer. I always really try to be really, really smart on the approach. Definitely, that wasn't really one of those. It still worked out in my favor, but no, I usually expect the fights to go into the second or third, and if they have it faster than that, then great, you know.
Right, yeah, it's definitely better to be prepared for a long war, and if it ends soon, then great, and it just makes you look even better, which sets up this huge matchup with Eric here for the title. We'll get into that here shortly. That fight against Kirk, that was in early February. What have you been up to since then? Have you had a chance to do anything fun, or has it just been all training?
Right after the fight, I had finals and midterms at that point, and then went into finals after that. So it was all school and training. By the time school was ending, I had already found out that I had this fight, so we just stayed training pretty much. So nothing really fun, you know. We went to Orlando, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, with my family, and went to Regis Sports this past weekend. So just staying busy.
Yeah, you've been training at Rufus Sport. How's that been going?
That was good. I went there for 3 days. I got to train with some top guys. You know, they treated me like one of their own. Got to talk with them a little bit and work some stuff out for the future. Overall, that was great, man. It was really good.
Did you get a chance to work with Duke one-on-one at all, or any of the top guys at the gym very much?
It was kind of for all the instructors for his affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to ask Duke questions throughout those, through what he was teaching. I got to spar with Duke a little bit. Got to work a lot with Gerald and Biggie, Anthony Pettis, Eric Koch, Paul Felder. Like, I rolled with them. Sergio taught one class. We worked with Coach Kush. So, yeah, and I got to work with all their top guys. And it was just amazing to see how much knowledge was there, along with the amount of talent that's there.
Right. That's got to be so cool. Does it just make you that much more excited when you get to train with guys that are already at that pinnacle in the UFC? Does it make you feel like you're right on the cusp there if you get this win against Eric, that, you know, maybe one day soon you're going to be right at that level with those guys at Rufus Sport?
I feel like I'm really close, you know, to the call or whatever it may be, to whoever it may be. But, I feel like I'm right there. I feel like I'm one of the top guys in the world, and being there and hopefully going back there and doing camps there in the future will just make me even better, you know. All those guys have so much knowledge. They've been doing it for so long. They're all older than I am. So, you know, it's kind of like I get to bring kind of a new era in there, because I'll definitely be the youngest one in there. So it'll be nice to put their knowledge in a younger guy, you know, because I'm sure they wish they had the knowledge that they have now when they were my age. So it'll be nice to be there and learn from them and, you know, be that new era and that new up and coming.
Yeah, and you think about it with all the knowledge you're gaining now, by the time you get to their age, who knows where you'll be, and I think that's the end goal for yourself, right?
Right. You know, I have tons of knowledge here at home. I just don't have the bodies. You know, Rich has done a great job with me. I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me. And, you know, everyone else, mainly Rich, you know, but Alan Belcher and Tim Crater especially, you know, he helped me get this with Duke and them. So I really have to thank those guys a ton. But, you know, Rich has been there for me along the way no matter what. He's always been willing to help me, always been willing to, you know, share his knowledge with me and try to help me become a better fighter and also a better person. So, like I said, I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me.
Well, you clearly have the right team around you, because you're progressing in the direction where I know myself. I plan on seeing you in the UFC here real soon. And this fight with Anders, you know, you never know what's going to come of it. If you have a good performance, you know, you might get the call sooner rather than later. Let's talk about this fight real quick. It's a big title matchup. When you found out about it, like you mentioned a little earlier, did you know much about Eric Anders at that point?
Yeah, I knew who he was, you know. We're both from down in the South. I've trained with guys from his camp. I fought one of the guys in his camp. So, you know, I knew it was going to happen eventually, especially with how everyone boasts him for football. You know, it's got to come eventually.
Right.
So, yeah, I knew who he was, but I don't feel he's supposed to be here right now. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not here to complain. I'm just here to beat whoever they put in front of me.
Now, Eric is known for his heavy hands. Is that something that concerns you at all heading into this fight, or do you feel just as confident in your own stand-up game going against a guy who's known for standing and banging?
I feel very confident. He told me in one interview his boxing is better than my Muay Thai. I mean, if that's boxing, then that sport's gone to hell, because all he depends on is the left hand, you know? Everybody's got a puncher's chance, no matter who you are. You know, this is 185 pounds. It only takes 3 pounds of pressure to put somebody to sleep. Everybody has a puncher's chance. You know, he talks about his left hand. We fought the same guy, and he hit him flush on the button, had the angle, and the dude didn't even buckle. So, you know, I'm not worried about that left hand whatsoever. You know, I'm gonna make the chances lower of him hitting me with it. But you know, if he hits me with it, I'm not worried about it. I've been hit by a bigger, harder hitter, so I'm not worried about it one bit.
Now, if this fight hits the ground, it seems that you would be a heavy favorite there. Is that the game plan heading in? I mean, I know you don't want to give away the full game plan, but do you feel like if this does go to the ground with your submission skills, that you're going to be in a big advantage there?
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel my ground going to demolish his if we go there. But, you know, that's not my game plan, you know. My game plan is just to beat him everywhere. I don't go into fights with game plans. Because, you know, if you set focus on one game plan or one thing that you're expecting for them to come in and they change it, you know, then you're thrown all off guard. So I go in there expecting anything to happen, you know. If it ends up there, I'm definitely more than comfortable than he is there, I believe. I think we both know that for sure. He can say what he wants, but we both know that my ground's 100 times better than his.
Now, you fought a lot of tough guys in your career. Is Eric the toughest opponent that you've fought so far? And more so than that, is this the most important fight of your career to date?
He's definitely not the toughest opponent I've had, for sure. As far as the biggest fighter, you know, every fight's the biggest one of your career, no matter who you're fighting. The next fight's always the biggest fight, so... Yes, of course, this is the biggest fight of my career, but you know, I don't see it like that. As far as like, that's not how I view the fight. I've got all the confidence in the world myself, and just now it's time to just cut this weight, be on weight, and fight next Friday. There's nothing new that's going to be added to the game, nothing that I can change now. It's everything's done besides the weight cut, and we're finishing that up right now.
How much more weight do you have to lose?
15 pounds.
And so what's going to be the plan over the next week? Is it just going to be normal stuff? Is this normally what you're at as far as your weight when you're getting into fight camp and getting into that last hell week of losing the weight?
Yeah, everything will be just normal how it normally is. I'll train this week light, just a lot of drilling. After Friday, it'll be my last day in the gym, and we'll get the weight off and cut proportions even more next week, and yeah, I'm late on Wednesday night, and wake up Thursday and go to Houston and weigh in.
Now, how do you envision this fight finishing here? Give us a little prediction. And secondly, what would winning this belt mean to you personally and just for your career in general?
As far as how the fight goes, honestly, man, I'm not sure. I'm expecting him to come out explosive, you know, laid back, bouncing around, backing up every time I go to go at him, you know, so... trying to frustrate me, but you know he's going to be the one frustrated after 3 minutes when he can't hit me or he can't put me away. So I'm expecting after that to go into clinch at some point in time, beat him up there, hopefully go to the ground if he wants, beat him up there and just keep beating him up, man. Everywhere we go, I just want to beat him up, make it a little bloody fight, you know, and put him back down at the bottom of the list where he belongs.
Now, I know we talked about this a little bit earlier here, but if you do get this win and you capture the belt here, like, what is your gut? Like, internally, how close do you feel a statement win gets you to the UFC? Do you feel like you're just right on the doorstep that maybe a win here and you do get a call-up, or do you think that maybe you need to win another fight or two? I'm just curious, like, internally, what you're thinking.
How I see it going, or how... my view of the whole big outlook of the if I win is defending it once or twice more, and then when you get in the call, you know, because obviously I want the UFC, you know, that's where my money is, but you know, I'm happy to be an LFA. I'm always happy to get another win, you know, that's more experience. So hopefully if I have to stay again, we'll get to fight Trevin for the belt and defend it against him, and hopefully back in Houston. So we'll see how that goes, but just one thing at a time right now.
What are your plans after this fight? Do you want to take a little time off, or if you don't have any injuries and you're healthy, would you like to just jump right back in there and fight again as soon as possible?
So as long as I come out and, you know, if there's no injuries, right now I don't really have any injuries coming out of camp. You know, a couple little knick-knack things that are just always there. But I got a jiu-jitsu tournament the week after, just a little one submission only thing. After that, I want to take some time off, you know, just a couple weeks. But I'm hoping to fight again in September. I want to get at least two more fights in before the year's out, finish my contract up, and going into next year, look, it's getting pretty, and hopefully looking for a call either at the end of this year or beginning of next year.
Nice. So I can't wait to see it. You got a couple big fans in us up here. We're definitely looking forward to seeing you get that call here real soon, Brendan. Before we let you go, anybody you'd like to thank or any sponsors you'd like to give a shout out to before we're all done here today?
Most definitely, man. I appreciate y'all taking the time out to speak with me and talk y'all to this fight and support me. I really appreciate that. I'd like to thank Carey Construction, Family Motorsports, Carey Construction, B&A Construction, Jack Usher Construction, Anytime Fitness of Plymouthin. And I'd like to thank Rich and Tim and Alan and all the guys that work with me and help me and all the guys at Duke's. And mostly my family, you know. This one's definitely for my family. You know, the belt will be coming home to my brother's new house and putting up on the mantel place. So, you know, I wouldn't be here without them. So this one's definitely for them.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Brendan. He is Brendan Allen, and he will fight next on June 23rd for the vacant middleweight title for the Legacy Fighting Alliance promotion against Eric Anders at the Arena Theater in Houston, Texas. Thank you as always, sir. Best of luck on the 23rd, and let's have you back on again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it. Have a good day.
Sure, you too.
This is Ryan Jarrell from The Main Event. We are proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. The Sea Dog is located in Bangor at 26 Front Street, right next to Penobscot River. You can call them at 947-8009 or visit them at seadogbrewing.com. Very excited to announce that the Sea Dog has a new summer menu. There are so many great things on this menu that are so just unbelievably mouthwatering. I could go through this whole thing, but I'm just going to give you a couple, just to give you a little taste, just to give you a little tease here. One of the new items, the Ahi Tuna Poke. Raw sashimi tuna with avocado dressed in Hawaiian-style soy sesame citrus sauce, served with crispy wonton chips and garnished with wakame seaweed salad and tobiko fish roe. Wow, I feel like I'm in Hawaii right now getting ready to dip my toes into the ocean and eat some unbelievable food. Also, if you want a little bit more of a Maine type of style, they have the lobster mac and cheese, a broiled top brown skillet of orchetta pasta, cheddar mac and cheese sauce, and fresh picked lobster meat. And if you wanted to, there is a double order available. Good Lord. One of my favorites is the fried calamari. Same preparation, but now served in only one size only, a 6-ounce portion. God, I love calamari. I can't wait to get there this summer and eat some of that. And also, the Sea Dog's beers are always on tap. Unbelievable. The Blue Paw, my favorite. Brian's favorite. So many great things to do in one fantastic place. On 26 Front Street, the Sea Dog Brewing Company. Step up, breathe.
Ryan, I know you're not a huge wrestling guy, but this is the theme for Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, and I think this is just embodies what MMA is all about.
Yeah, I mean,
not bad,
yeah,
right?
Someone's gonna get their
wings
butt
clipped.
Kicked. Yeah, someone's gonna get their wings clipped.
Yeah, beat him up, break his neck. Beat him up, break his neck. I just think this would be like a perfect walkout song for someone who might be like a heavyweight.
Now, was that
walking down the ring?
Was that Trick Daddy?
That was 3-6 Mafia.
Okay, I was close.
From Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm not up on my rap game like
you
I
really
used
are,
to be.
Yeah.
I used to be when I was younger, but my tastes have changed a little bit. I still like some rap. They'll come out with some stuff that I can move around to and you know, dance like a white guy. But for the most part, my styles have changed a little bit to rock alternative.
Right, right. Well, rap artists and songs were you into back in like your heyday, at least knowing that stuff?
You know, I mean, I liked, you know, Biggie and Tupac.
Of course,
and,
who didn't like,
you know,
Biggie? Were you a Biggie guy or a Tupac guy?
I didn't have one or the other.
You have to have one.
Okay. Look, I don't represent
Biggie
the Bloods or the Crips.
Yeah, but still, you got to know. You got to have
in between. I like them both. You know who I always like?
You're just
I'm
the purple.
I'm the guy. No, I guess I'm green because it's Celtics, not purple for Lakers.
But like blue and red would be purple.
Okay,
so I'm just I wasn't saying anything disparaging about your color palette or anything.
But if you had to ask me like who some of my other favorites were, I liked Jay-Z.
Pimpin'.
There was a I loved Redman. Redman was great.
Okay.
I really liked him. you know, Cameron. There was some Busta Rhymes stuff that I liked. Yep. But, yeah, I mean, I still like some of it. I've just kind of grown out of it a little bit, you know. I don't know.
I could lap you in rapper then.
Yeah?
I've seen a ton of rap concerts, actually, too, surprisingly mm-hmm. so. I did an introductory announcement before Ludacris's concert.
Oh, okay.
The exits and entrances are located in the rear and front of the Alfond Arena. In the event of an emergency, please file out in orderly fashion as quick as possible.
For Luda?
And I got free tickets. My buddy hooked me up. Yeah, Luda and J. Cole.
I know J. Cole. He's R&B. When I was out in California, I worked that show Dog After Dark with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, sick.
And so I got to see Snoop perform like very, very close.
Yeah.
And I had to like be part of that team that would kind of like usher him from his trailer to the actual stage where they do the show. And when he would open up the door from the trailer, this weird cloud would just come out of the trailer.
Oh, weird cloud. Strange clouds, huh?
Yeah, and it would just kind of like like this huge cloud that would just come right out and lay over the top of the trailer.
I wonder what that was.
It smelled funny. I wasn't sure.
Was it almost like a skunk had inhabited?
Yeah, it was very skunky. I thought maybe that they had like a pet skunk that sprayed or something. I wasn't sure.
Oh, crazy. But I've seen Ludacris, J. Cole. I saw Wiz Khalifa perform in Waterville with Big Sean, who was just coming up. Mm-hmm. He had just released, I think, like one mixtape or two mixtapes. Mm-hmm. I've seen Lupe Fiasco. Was absolutely incredible before. I've seen quite a bit of stuff. Oh, Lil Wayne. I saw Lil Wayne too.
Oh, and I got to see Nas when he...
Oh, Nas would be a good
one. Yeah, he was... Oh, he performed on the show Dog After Dark, so I got to see him do a few songs.
Sweet.
Like, Right From Me to You, I was that close. So that was pretty cool. And Nas is legit. He's one of the best ever.
I still want
to
see Kanye. You can say what you want to about him personally and whatnot, but I love his music.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff he put out, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, is a tremendous album.
I do like Drake now. I think Drake is pretty good.
Yeah, Drake's hit or miss. I like old Drake.
Yeah,
okay. I like new Drake.
Yeah, well, I like Drake.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say I like Drake.
I like everything Kanye except for 808s and Heartbreak. I hate that one. It's not going to
help. Not your thing.
It's way too melodic and one of the reasons why I don't like Drake. But I digress. Just a great song. Somebody's Gonna Get It by Mark Henry. If anyone in the MMA world wants to use that, just say like, yo, Stack, that was a great choice because someone's going to get their wings clipped when I get them into a chicken wing or something and break their arms or an arm bar, you know?
Yeah, you never know.
Cool.
Maybe Brendan Allen or Eric Anders are going to be inspired by your music choice, and they're going to play that song when they go into the Houston, Texas dome that they're going to be fighting in on the 23rd.
How about Jose Aldo just comes out of this one? Just goes like full bore, like change of everything after his loss to Max.
Well, you know,
comes out to be a thug. You know?
Something is going to have to change. Did you see the way he looked afterwards? He was sitting on the stool, completely dejected. He looked like a shadow of his former champion self.
He was already talking about how he wanted Conor and how these super fights he wanted.
That ain't
going to
happen.
And no, it's not. He's going to have to work his way all the way back up. He's going to have to do what Frankie Edgar did. After Frankie had some disappointing title opportunities not go his way, he's going to have to build his way up and earn his contention. Much like, was it Claudia, right?
Claudia Gadella.
Who beat Kovalevich, and she said, I know no one wants to see me face Janjacek again because she's lost to her already twice. So she said, I'm going to buy a nice car, an expensive dog, and I'm going to work my way back up there until people really, truly want to see me fight Janjacek. And I say, absolutely, that's the way to do it. And hopefully Aldo can do the same. Hopefully this isn't the end of his career where he just says, if I'm not fighting for the title in these big money fights, I'm done.
He's still a young guy.
He's extremely young. Yeah.
But the thing of it is, you talk about fight mileage, and that's a real thing.
True.
And he's been around for a very long time. So maybe he's only... What is he, 29 or 30 years old? But he's probably older than that when you think of the miles he has on his body from all the years of training.
And he is one of the pound-for-pound greatest fighters of all time. And
no doubt.
If there were like three Mount Rushmores of MMA, I think you could truly say that Aldo would be on one of the top 12 or so. If you were going to say top 12 fighters of all time in MMA, I think Aldo deserves to be among the top 10, for instance.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I can't think of many off the top of my head that I would say are better than him.
You could have an argument that he might not be top 4, but I think top 10, you need to put Aldo in there. Just for what he did with the sport, how dominating he was for a decade, basically. yeah, you got to give him credit where credit is due. But
being a prisoner of the moment right yeah. now, if you were to ask me a Mount Rushmore, the top four of all time, the ones that come to mind to me automatically are GSP, Anderson Silva, mm-hmm. John Bones Jones. And, you know, I don't know.
Would
you
put Mighty Mouse in there?
I mean...
That's the thing.
Like,
I have to put him in there. He's never really been challenged since the featherweight division, or the flyweight division, rather, has opened up and he won the title. He has never looked back, and he's just been dominating. He's cleaned out the division to the point where they're trying to feed him TJ Dillashaw and drop him down 10 pounds.
It's like, you know, obviously, if you just look just based on his record and all the things that he's accomplished, then yeah, he's right there. You'd be hard-pressed to give me a reason why he shouldn't be on that Mount Rushmore. But to me, when you think about like Mount Rushmores in any sport, sometimes it goes, and this might not be fair, but sometimes it goes a little bit beyond just what you did in your sport, the accomplishments that you have. Are you transcendent? Have you done something where you can kind of grow the sport in a way where you're more of a celebrity than you are just a great athlete?
And it's true that he's not headlining pay-per-views. He's hardly on pay-per-views anymore. And if he is, he's the co-main event, or he's another piece of that. Unfortunately, what I would, though, classify him on the Mount Rushmore of greatest of all time is if he does move up to 135 and he wins the belt.
No
and
doubt.
Is holding both championships at the same time and then even defends them back and forth. I think he would be, no doubt about it, one of the greatest of all time at that point. I don't think he could work at 45, but I think he can work very, very well at 35.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think 45 is just too big
too
for
big,
him.
Yeah.
But 35, yeah. And I honestly think that once he breaks the record... And he defends the belt again, if that's what happens, then I think you are going to see him at 135 pounds. And at that point in time, then he's going to have a lot more interesting fights on his hand because there's some legitimate guys in that division.
And before we get down and talk a little bit about Holloway and some stuff that I'm not sure we've covered yet, but I wanted to talk about at some point, if you're DJ and his people, do you want to fight TJ? Do you want to fight Dillashaw?
I mean,
at 125,
I don't see why you wouldn't. I think that would be a fight where if DJ goes out and beats TJ and he beats him and makes a statement, then I not only just set the record won another title defense in my 125 pound weight class, but I just beat the former 135 pound champ. So why doesn't that put me in line for a title shot at 135?
Now, my question would be, I know a little bit more about the situation, and it was basically he was told he was going to fight, was it Borg? He was going to fight Ray
Borg.
And he thought he deserved that title fight, and he wanted to move up. He wanted to fight Cody, and that wasn't going to happen. They said, we're not going to waste that fight. So he was already resigned to fight Borg, and they kept giving him the opportunity and then pulling it back and saying, now you're fighting over here. So he feels like he's being pulled in 18 different directions. And had they just gone to him and said, we want you to fight TJ first and foremost, before they had already confirmed him to fight Borg, he said... he probably would have done it. It's just a matter of he wants more money to face a guy he doesn't think deserves a title shot 125 because he hasn't done anything in the flyweight division.
Yeah, and again, I mean, look, when you're Demetrius Johnson and you've completely cleaned out the flyweight division, I mean, you'd think anyways that you'd call the shots.
Yeah.
And I think that's the frustrating thing. He's always talked about, you know, he's been a company man his whole career. He's done everything and fought everyone that the UFC and Dana White has asked him to fight.
Right.
And he's done it with a smile on his face, and he brings his lunch pail to work, and he gets the job done and goes back home, and he's a good role model. He doesn't get in any trouble. He's the type of guy who is the perfect athlete that you want to promote to all these younger fans that want to get into mixed martial arts.
Absolutely.
So I understand his frustration and the situation that he's in. And again, I read an article that said all the same stuff that you were just talking about. And honestly, you can't help but feel for the guy. And again, you know, you go back to the UFC, like what they're doing to some of these fighters, I don't necessarily agree with. You know, I talked when I went on The Big Jab the other day with Javier Garrity, I talked about Gegard Mousasi's situation and how he's saying, damn it, give me more money. I deserve more money. I've been around for a long time. He's a legend in the sport. He's one of the best ever, really, to do it. Mm-hmm. And Sage Northcutt is making more than him. That's ridiculous.
The fighters, you know what they need to do. And Dana and IMG and WME are not going to want to hear this, but the fighters need to take a stand, unite, and hopefully they have enough money backed up that they can, you know, withstand this. but just say, we're not going to sign any new contracts, and we are going to unionize, because that's the only way you can get that. They honestly, if you're in the UFC, you should be having a weekly or monthly wage that if you're not fighting or something happens, you can afford to sit out. It's not like you're just sitting there collecting a check because you don't want to fight. If you really are taking this seriously and you get an injury training, especially from some of these lower-tier UFC guys, like a Devin Powell, for instance, let's say he gets injured before this upcoming fight and he can't go, then what's to say, like, he's not going to be hard up for some money unless he gets an advance from the UFC or from some of his sponsors helps him out? That's the kind of thing that you need to be aware of to help these MMA fighters, because boxers make so much more money and, per fight than these guys do.
Yeah, and that's crazy to me. To think of where we're at right now in 2017, the UFC has overtaken boxing tenfold. It's way bigger. It has a way bigger audience. You know, these fighters should be making more money than these boxers do. I mean, look, boxing is just training one discipline. MMA, you got to do it all.
Right.
You got to do it all. So why shouldn't you make more? Because you have to train everything. You got to train your body. It's harder on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't understand it. Hopefully things change for the better. And you know, the sport grows like it should, because I hate seeing these reports of all these fighters that are upset and ticked off. And, you know, you've already seen, and maybe this is good for the sport when you talk about the UFC losing a lot of their good guys to Bellator, you know, but that keeps happening, you know. And honestly, there's no reason under the sun why Rory McDonald should be in Bellator. He's a UFC fighter through and through.
Right.
And just because he's had a couple of hiccups, he's top notch, man. He's as good as it gets. He's top five easy on his worst day.
Right.
And I just, you know, maybe in the long run it's going to be good for the sport because it's going to elevate Bellator. But at the same time, I love seeing the UFC be the pinnacle, being the gold standard,
right.
this promotion that just has the best of the best, bar none.
And you wonder, too, if that Reebok deal was the beginning of this sort of divisiveness, because you can't get your own sponsors on your trunks anymore. You can't even have the backdrop that you used to be able to have where you could put all your sponsors. So maybe you wouldn't have a cluttered trunk look with different logos on it from all the various people, but at least you could have a backdrop there where you've got the logo of all your sponsors, which could at least get you some extra money because it's national big-time exposure. But again, something's going to have to come down eventually for the UFC and for these fighters, because they deserve it for sure.
100%.
And finally, before we go, get Max Holloway a pay-per-view title fight, because he's going to be a fighting champion through and through. No offense to Conor McGregor, but he's going to defend his belt probably multiple times before Conor steps back in to the octagon anytime soon. So get him a damn pay-per-view on one of the islands of Hawaii, please, because imagine how big that sport will flourish in the Hawaiian Islands, in American Samoa, in the Philippines, some of these island countries that could really rally behind a guy who they can relate to, like a Max Holloway, who didn't grow up in the greatest part of Hawaii, but now is one of the greatest champions in the UFC right now.
And no doubt about it. And who wouldn't like to travel to Hawaii to watch pay-per-view? Right?
I heard Joe Rogan say, he's like, I don't even want to have to call that. I'll just go there on my own fun time and just sit there in Hawaii. And like, I don't even go to the show. I'll just be outside watching in a pay-per-view, and it'd still be super enjoyable because you're in freaking Hawaii.
Right? Tell me about it.
So I'd like to see that get done, because I think that would be tremendous for Max in growing the sport, which is what we're all about. We had a fight night in Bangor, Maine. We can have a UFC pay-per-view in Hawaii.
No doubt about it.
Dana, I mean, we should be consultants. Hook us up with some cash.
Pay us, Dana. Give us some money.
Well, another great show in the books. Number 60. We're one away from what? Actually, we tied Mickey Mantle this time, right?
I think you talked about...
Yeah, so Roger Maris' next
61.
Show.
Yeah, 61.
Yeah, 61 would be Roger Maris.
Yeah,
and then
right.
We get to Big Mac and eventually Barry Bonds down the way. Jeez.
Tell me about it. I'm like throwing in the baseball analogies.
All right, give me a little preview of the next show for us, Ryan.
Well, you know, this is going to be a really interesting one. I've been excited to get this guy on. He is a huge up-and-comer here in the UFC light heavyweight division. He just put the whole light heavyweight division on notice with his first-round stoppage of Misha Cirkunov, who was the number 7th-ranked fighter. Now he's going to be stepping up in competition to take on Jimmy Manoa towards the end of July in the co-main event of the John Jones-Daniel Cormier title matchup. So Volkan Ozdemir, a huge, huge up-and-comer in the UFC, on the show next week. And we also have the head coach and owner of Latrell MMA. I say head coach of Claudia Gardella, UFC star, and the owner of his own gym, Latrell MMA. Chris Latrell on the show as well.
should be a good one as we continue to pump out the greatest in MMA content from the local, regional, and world view.
We're pumping it out, Brian. My Conor impersonation is getting better every week.
It's not bad. It's kind of right. I think we'll soon be able to give you a nice, really good process, Mike, to do all these impersonations, and it's going to sound crisp. It's going to sound real crisp.
I got
crisp.
A lot of stuff in the mental bank here that I can pull out. So
You're a little backed up?
Well, no, I'm just saying I got a lot of information.
You're a little backed up.
He's going to take it to a weird point.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm not taking it. You're just a little backed up with all the stuff that's in your head. You just let it out. Just squeeze it out. Just release some of that content.
On that note, I am going to check out. It's all you, my man.
All right. Another edition of The Main Event in the books. We'll see you next time.